I'm speaking with Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association, about a D.C. District Court ruling regarding the cellulosic biofuels targets under the Renewable Fuel Standard. First of all, Bob, just explain to us what the court ruling is and how it's kind of a mixed bag for the biofuels industry.
It was a mixed bag, but before I tell you what it was, let me tell you what it was not. It was not, as the API suggests in their press release, a decision by the court to end the mandate for non-existent biofuels. The mandate for cellulosic ethanol is not ended by this decision by any way, shape, or form. Their characterization of the court's decision was really the height of deception, thought up by some PR firm, I suppose, that doesn't know anything about this issue. All the court did was tell EPA they need to have a better justification for their number. API had sued the agency, saying that the agency must use EIA data. The court said, no, you don't get to do that. The agency said, or API had sued, saying the agency should not seek information from the cellulose producers themselves. The court rejected that argument also. The court did conclude that the number that EPA settled upon was on the outer bounds of those numbers that it had before it, and suggested what the agency was really trying to do was to create an incentive for investment, and the court felt that that was beyond the bounds of what the agency was allowed to do by the statute. They couldn't create an incentive for investment. All they can do is make a clear-headed decision on what is likely to be produced. So the court just remanded it to the agency. EPA is going to have to take a look at the data again. They could come back with the same exact number and just say this is what we believe, based on the information we have, is likely to be produced. And it's, you know, not intended to be any kind of an incentive. But, you know, maybe they'll make an adjustment, but it certainly doesn't go away. And for API to say that this somehow ends the cellulose requirement tells you the lengths that they will go to mislead the public about this important program.
Well, just last week, we heard from several of pioneers, I guess you'd say, in the cellulosic ethanol and next-generation advanced biofuels, and that was Abengoa, Poet DSM, as well as DuPont. And all of them said that they are actually, you know, we're literally almost there, and all of them said they couldn't have done it without the RFS. Is that going to be taken into account when, you know, when they look at this again?
Well, what will be taken into account is the schedule for when those plants will be up and operational. And, you know, people make their best judgments. Abengoa has suggested that the fourth quarter of 2013, they'll be in production. So EPA has that to use to set the number for 2013, just as they were looking at similar projections from companies for their 2012 number. The RFS is absolutely, as they said last week, critical to commercializing these new technologies, critical to the continued evolution of our industry. The RFS needs to be maintained, and the court decision maintains it.
Well, it seems like one of the main criticisms of ethanol has come in recent years about the use of corn. And what's ironic about this is that this is the very avenue where we're going to get away from using so much corn and into other feedstocks, right?
Well, exactly. But I think this gets to the heart of why the API has been so aggressive in trying to repeal and undermine the RFS now. Because if these companies are successful and you see the commercialization of these new technologies using new feedstocks, then the inexorable march away from petroleum will absolutely continue. They're not happy about having lost 10% of the barrel. They are apoplectic about the potential of losing even more of it to cellulosic ethanol and other new biofuels. If they can win this fight now, and if they can convince Congress to go in and make adjustments that eliminate the market potential and demand driver for cellulose and other biofuels, then they will have succeeded. We can't let that happen.
Now, bottom line, as far as this district court decision is concerned, what exactly, I mean, does it have any immediate effect on those people that are currently trying to get cellulosic ethanol commercially available?
I hope that it doesn't. It shouldn't. All it does is remand to EPA to come back with a different number for 2012, presumably a lower number for 2012. It probably gets the agency thinking about what they need to do better to get to a better number for 2013. But they're not going to walk away from the cellulosic program. It's still going to be a part of the RFS. And so the investment community should be satisfied that that demand driver continues to be there. What it may do is suspend for a time the cost to oil companies for the cellulose credits that they need to buy. And, you know, they have whined excessively about the cost of those credits because when they can't find a gallon of cellulose, they've got to go buy a credit from EPA. Well, in 2012, the cost of those credits was 78 cents. Not a really big cost. And in fact, we've done an analysis that shows that the cost for 3 years of credits for cellulose represents 0.0019% or 19 thousandths of a percent of the profits from the oil companies, the top five oil companies, over the last 3 years. Let me put it another way. They're whining about the cost of credits when they earn enough in less than 10 minutes to pay for a year's worth of credits. We think these are crocodile tears, and we certainly hope that EPA does not succumb to the oil company pressure on this, and they continue to drive the cellulosic market.
Thank you very much, Bob Dineen, President and CEO of the Renewable Fuels Association. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.